When they came back, of course they had a two-way ticket. When they came back, the FBI kept following them for 2 years. For two whole years, following them, every movement they did. And of course they were following me too. I didn't know that until, as I was seeing a car following me, and I was like thinking, I couldn't understand, you know, why this car almost takes me all the way to my apartment complex and then leaves. And when I'm working, I could see there's a car there. And I thought, maybe there's some crazy guy or something. I never thought it was the FBI. But after 2 years, they decided to arrest my son and say that he was conspiring with Boyd and other people to go overseas and kidnap people. And that was in the indictment. That was supposed to be in an unspecified time and at an unknown place. So sometime, somehow in the future, at an unknown time, an unknown place, my son is gonna go and commit an act of terrorism. My son was 21 years at that time when they arrested him. It was very horrific. I was not home at the time, but I heard how they arrested him. A whole SWAT team came to him. He was swimming in the pool, and they came in and they drew their guns at my son, and then they took him. They had him in solitary confinement pre-trial for about 2 years. They were trying to pressure him to say something about Daniel Boyd. See, they weren't even after my son. The whole thing they wanted to kill after was Daniel Boyd because he was very outspoken. He's white American, and on top of that, he's Muslim. And he had a very, he has a very charismatic character, so he can draw a lot of people. My son was only a goofy 19-year-old boy, so they really were not after him, but they wanted to pressure my son to say something against this guy. And they were after my son's friend. And when they found out that my son is not gonna lie, and is not gonna be on their side, and is not gonna do something immoral, they just got mad. It's just like, you know, babies who get a temper tantrum. They took my son, they arrested him with his friend, and they had him in pre-trial for, in solitary confinement for about 2 years, and trying to get him to take the plea deal and say something against this guy. Just recently, I was approached with some of my son's friends approached me, and they told me that the FBI told them if he had spoken, if he would say something against Boyd, he would not even be in jail. So imagine this terrorist, all of a sudden is not gonna be a terrorist if he lies against other people. But my son refused to lie, so at the trial, they presented material that had nothing to do with my son. Again, like, you know, Samuel Aryan, what happened with Samuel Aryan. They brought in movies and videotapes of violent people who are supposed to be Muslims with, you know, black masks and stuff like that, or head covers or whatever, just to scare people, intimidate the jury. And they kept mentioning my son's name and putting up his picture. And of course, you know, these people, the jury, I guess they got confused and brainwashed. And of course, at the beginning, I was very hurt because it's like, how can people be that ignorant? But then other people, when they looked, you know, from the outside, and they told me, well, they probably were just brainwashed. But they convicted my son, even though there was no evidence against him. And even though Daniel Boyd, a ringleader, he broke down and he took the plea deal to save himself and save his kids. Basically, he did it for his kids because they arrested also his two sons with him. And I guess his wife was about to have a nervous breakdown. So his kids, each one got 5, 6 years respectively. So by now, I think they're out. He got 18 years. My son got 31.5 years. So he's in Coleman, Florida right here, in something that's worse even than solitary confinement. He's in the SHU. He's only allowed an hour a day, 5 days a week, and also it's like in a cage or something. Also it's in solitary. So basically they're upset with my son. They want him to lose his mind. They treat us like animals, even worse than animals. I would not even want an animal to live like that. If I knew that an animal would live like that, is living like that, I'll do something about it, let alone a human being. And there's a lot of cases like my son's case. It's not just my son. It's very, very similar cases. of you people who don't want to take the plea deal or are outspoken against the war in Afghanistan and Iraq and what's going on in Palestine. And because they're Muslims, they know that they don't have a backbone, so they go after them much, much more than they go after a non-Muslim person. So the judge at sentencing time, since Daniel Boyce, he took the plea deal and he said that my son was not conspiring with him and there was no conspiracy going on between him and my son or any of the co-defendants, and just to let you know that my son didn't know even some of the co-defendants. So the judge wanted to give herself an excuse to give my son this high sentence. So she said that clearly my son was acting as a lone wolf, that he went overseas to recruit people for jihad. And I just wanted to say, like, this is the summation of, you know, this, my son's story and our story. I just want to say it's up to you people to do something about this, because our lives have been interrupted. People are, you know, I'm very depressed. My life changed dramatically. I felt like I was going up the ladder, you know. I write poetry. I had a lot of dreams to do. My sons had grown at that time, you know. I have two boys. And I said, okay, this is my time to be free and start doing something for myself. And then this came. And it just put me back down in the hole. All my resources are taken. My money's gone on lawyers. The first one was an appointed lawyer, and he basically let my son sink because he works for the government. And now we have an appointed lawyer, and we just lost an appeal, but we paid me, and, you know, of course, not just me, mostly thank God from some kind of some organizations, MLFA and MJI helped me out. But our lives, I mean, we just lost the appeal, so, I mean, $60,000 we had spent on this lawyer, and we just lost the appeal. And now we have to take it to the Supreme Court. And I've been reading cases about cases similar to his, and they all lost when they took it to the Supreme Court. So I really don't have any hope in the justice system. My only hope is left in people like you to do something about these laws, to change them. Because my son is about to lose his mind. He just called me, luckily, just before I came here. I'm scheduled to see him tomorrow. And he said he's not receiving any mail. So, I mean, I'm on Facebook, so he said he hasn't received the mail for a whole month. So I connect with people, and some people ask me about my son, and they want to write him, so I give them his address. He has a few friends who are committed, American friends that are my Facebook friends, and they know my son's story, and they're committed to write him, and he had not received their letters for a whole month. So this is my story, and I'm just so depressed all the time. I'm not used to being depressed like that. I'm an active person. But now I just sit at home, and I just stare at the ceiling, or, you know, sitting on the couch forever. And at night, you know, I groan and moan most of the night and have nightmares about my son. And it's always that I'm trying to take him out of jail or something, and that he's like, sorry, Mom, I have to go back, and on and on and on. And if you have any questions, please let me know. Also, we have a website for my son. It's not well done, but some volunteers doing it for me. It's www.freeziadyadi.info. And also, if you want to join me on Facebook to know more about Ziad. Thank you. Thank you, Mom.
You're welcome to join in on the course part. You'll recognize it. It's very simple and easy. We who believe in freedom cannot rest. We who believe in freedom cannot rest till it comes. We who believe in freedom cannot rest. We who believe in
father's sons. It has to be important that all men and all men mother's sons, that which teaches me the most. I had a chance to work with people, passing on to others that which was passed on to me. We who believe in freedom cannot rest. We who believe in freedom cannot rest until it comes. We who believe in freedom cannot rest. We who believe in freedom cannot rest until it to see young people come first. They have the courage where we fail. And if I can but shed some light so they can carry us through the gale. The older I get, the better I know that the secret of my going on, it's when the reins are in the hands of the young who dare to run against the storm.